Welcome to the July 2025 News Bulletin podcast for yacht and small craft marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from IIAMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague and fellow marine professionals, it is not so often I find myself being able to share just good and uplifting news exclusively with you. So, whilst disasters at sea continue unabated, sadly this month has been no exception. For this news bulletin, at least, my focus is firmly elsewhere. Although rather dry affairs as a rule, annual general meetings are an essential ingredient in any institute or club's yearly agenda. With that firmly in mind, the IIAMS 2025 AGM took place on Tuesday 3rd of June and was broadcast online from the institute's head office. Dozens of members joined via Zoom to participate in the meeting. I was genuinely touched by some of the positive feedback I received from many of those from all over the world who attended. My colleagues and I worked tirelessly behind the scenes on behalf of our members and for the greater good of the industry, so when others choose to acknowledge that, we do appreciate it. One of the most pleasurable parts of the AGM is announcing some high-profile awards. Recognizing individuals who have contributed something exceptional to the organization and the marine sector in general is of key importance. You can read more about those individuals who were honoured along with some photos elsewhere in this bulletin. Our president, Captain Ruchin Dale, elected to support the Sailors' Society as his chosen charity whilst in office. As part of this connection, I was invited to meet with the local Sailors' Society chaplain, Fran Sahetapi, who is based at Southampton Docks. It was a privilege to join him recently on a couple of ship visits to observe him at work and to understand what is involved. I have to say that it came as a surprise to me to see how he and the charity operate and the range of support services they can offer. We boarded a giant car carrier, K-Line's Orion Highway, in the process of being loaded with thousands of cars, in itself fascinating, and were warmly welcomed and treated with respect right from the off by the crew. Fran spoke and engaged with the crew in the mess room, and the ship's captain came by and spent a good 20 minutes earnestly chatting with us. As I have said before, if you are not involved in this industry, you have little idea of what really goes on behind the scenes. There is no doubt that the life of a seafarer is challenging, but I got the distinct feeling that the Orion Highway's crew were happy in their work. I am now putting the final touches for my Australasia visit and depart on the 7th of July bound for New Zealand. There is still time to book your place for the Auckland event on the 11th of July or the two-day Brisbane seminar on the 17th and 18th. We have some excellent speakers and presenters covering the widest range of marine surveying topics imaginable at both events. And if you can't get to the venues in person, please consider joining as an online-only delegate. Canada Conference new date announced. I also want to inform you that the IIAMS Canada Branch 2025 conference, which was postponed earlier this year, has been rescheduled for the 22nd and the 23rd of October and will take place at Hamilton, Ontario. My thanks to the local branch committee, whose members have lined up an impressive array of speakers. I look forward to being present at the event. Also worthy of mention is the four-day IIAMS Practical Surveying Course, backed by popular demand, the third iteration of which is planned for December 2025, to be held at the Boat Building Academy in Lyme Regis, UK. This is an opportunity to be under the guidance and tutelage of three highly experienced, senior marine surveyors as you work alongside them inspecting and surveying three vessels over 3 days. On day four, it is into the classroom to concentrate on honing your report writing skills and techniques. This program will appeal to IIAMS students and those surveyors making their way in the industry. We can only handle 12 delegates, so reserve your place to avoid disappointment. Visit our website for more information on our events throughout the year. And finally, IIAMS Team Building Forest Adventure. If you are a regular reader and have been digesting these bulletins over the years, you may recall that once a year Team IIAMS heads off for a couple of days team building in the heart of the New Forest at Minstead, in the UK. This year's highlight was to be a team paddle in one giant kayak from Poole Harbour to Brownsea Island. Sadly, the unseasonal British weather intervened as heavy rain and high winds forced a change of plan. We opted for the safer option of the public ferry to the island instead. But the team's spirits were not dampened. The first half of 2025 has been fast-paced and successful. It has kept the team busy and time has whistled by. The second half of the year promises more of the same. Survey well, Mike. Our first report is on the IIAMS AGM, which took place online on the 3rd of June, broadcast live from the Institute's headquarters. A number of honours were announced at this year's AGM. Palma, Mallorca-based Tim Rowe has been awarded a fellowship for his work in the marine industry over many years. Honorary fellowship has been awarded to Captain Zilur Buyan, Bangladesh Regional Director, as he is set to retire from the surveying profession. Another retiree, Emiraku Ijeoma from Nigeria, who was instrumental in helping to establish our Nigerian branch, was recognized with an honorary membership. It is rare for IIMS to recognize the contributions of non-institute members, but the management board has decided to honor Stuart Edmonston, UKP and iClub Safety and Risk Management Director with an honorary fellowship. And last, but by no means least, IIMS was delighted to announce that Chairman of Standards, Paul Homer, an IIMS Executive Director, was to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. Paul's experience spans more than 4 decades as a marine surveyor, and this recognition reflects his personal dedication, commitment and contribution to IIMS over many years. Mike was wholesome in his praise and thanks for his IIMS colleagues and all the other people around the world who give of their time. For our next story, Spain is seeing an increase in yacht traffic and specifically an increase in the size of the vessels. It is also experiencing a dearth of berths for such visiting vessels. The solution, at least along the coast of Malaga province and the Andalusia region, is to use excess space at commercial fishing ports which have seen a decline in activity. General Director of the Public Ports Agency, Ignacio Alvarez Osorio, said, "It is going to be very difficult to build new ports, so what we have to do is take the water from the existing ports, really see what is needed for fishing and then take advantage of those spaces that are left free." At a recent meeting of nautical and marina professionals, Alvarez Osorio stated that the regional government's aim is to extend the use, as much as possible, of available areas and build new recreational ports only in exceptional cases. Ultimately, the ports would like to see a public-private partnership with commercial interests that would be responsible for facilitating the arrival of premium sailing and megayachts, due to their high economic return. The current demand for moorings is said to be very high, with a 75% occupancy rate in Andalusia as a whole throughout the year, and full capacity during the summer, especially for vessels between 12 to 20 meters in length. Several ports will require infrastructure improvements to make them more efficient and competitive, which will be put out for bid among private vendors. Up next, for the first time, a superyacht, the 118 meters Breakthrough, has recently taken on liquid hydrogen fuel in the port of Amsterdam. The fuel was delivered by Air Products and Chemicals, a Pennsylvania company selling gases and chemicals for industrial use. The bunkering was a first for the Netherlands and a big shot in the arm for the yacht's Dutch builder, Feedship, whose relentless pursuit of sustainable superyachting has delivered success in recent years. The Port of Amsterdam said the fueling process for Breakthrough began with an initial delivery of liquid hydrogen, followed by multiple refueling operations a few weeks later. Amsterdam Harbour Master Malembe Mateo expects that several alternative marine fuels will coexist in the future. "We are proud that the first bunkering with liquid hydrogen has now taken place in our port. Hydrogen is a viable solution for zero-emission sailing." In 2024, Feedship started building Breakthrough. In our next report, a volunteer-led heritage survey of 2,000 miles of canal network in England and Wales has started this year, the first in more than 3 decades. The work, which will take 4 years to complete, will create a vast digital database which will detail the history of the network and its associated structures. This is being made possible thanks to funds raised by players of People's Postcode Lottery. Bill Froggett, heritage advisor at Canal and River Trust, explained, "30 years after the first survey was completed, our charity has secured the funding to be able to go out and update and add to those original records. Using the support of our wonderful volunteers and embracing modern mobile technology, it will be a project that celebrates this wonderful legacy from our industrial past and helps preserve it for the future." Bill explained, "Today the love for canals is burning bright. There are more boats on the network than at the height of the Industrial Revolution, and the towpath is used by millions of people each week to get close to nature and to improve health and well-being by spending vital time in quality and much-needed green space by water. The new survey will give us important information on how canals have changed over the intervening years. It will also give us the opportunity to survey canals that have been restored since the first survey was conducted." For our next story, Cockwell's Modern and Classic Boatbuilding, based in Cornwall and part of the Pendennis Group, recently welcomed Princess Anne for a tour of its southwest shipyard in Ponshardon. British boatbuilder Cockwell's became part of the Pendennis Group in 2024 following a majority acquisition. The acquisition sets the firm up for further expansion across its Dutchy motor launches, Hardy motor yachts and superyacht tenderlines. During the visit, Princess Anne was shown the molding shed where molding production manager, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and molding team leader, Harry Burley, explained the boat molding process, which includes gelling the mold and applying fiberglass layers based on surface area and hull thickness. Production director, Jason Fote, then gave an overview of the production process in the main parts building workshop. Next, METSTRADE, the world's largest trade exhibition for the leisure marine industry, is set to mark a significant new chapter as it prepares for its 37th edition in 2025. Marking an historic first, the event will occupy the entire IAI Amsterdam complex to provide a more spacious layout with numerous advantages. Responding to evolving market dynamics, METSTRADE 2025 will provide a platform that fosters international trade and shared industry progress. The show's expansion will be marked by a refreshed brand identity, featuring a new logo and visual suite inspired by maritime signal flags. The design will enhance clarity and cohesion across the exhibition experience, both physically and digitally. The superyacht sector will receive increased attention in 2025 with the introduction of a significantly expanded superyacht zone in Hall 8. Addressing previous capacity limits, this development reflects growing interest in the sector's refit market, which supports a fleet of approximately 6,000 active vessels requiring regular major works. Key players such as Damen, Lursen Yachts, MB92, Pendennis Shipyard and the Australia Refit Cluster will exhibit their refit capabilities. The launch of a dedicated superyacht stage will further elevate sector-specific dialogue by showcasing the latest technologies and applications shaping the future of superyacht design, innovation, and operations. Meanwhile, the Superyacht Forum, now part of the METSTRADE portfolio, continues as the premier C-suite event where industry leaders engage in high-level strategic discussions about the direction of the sector. Visit www.metstrade.com for more information. Up next, the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board released its Safer Seas Digest 2024, which details the most important lessons learned from maritime investigations completed last year. Safer Seas Digest 2024 details the facts and analyzes the probable causes of 34 maritime casualties, including capsizings, collisions, contacts, fires, floodings, groundings, and machinery damage. Among the events included in the report are the engine room fire aboard the passenger ferry Sandy Ground near Staten Island, New York, and the fire aboard the dinner cruise vessel Spirit of Boston in Boston. You can download the report at www.ntsb.governor. Our next report, time for superyachts to step up to the HVO plate. We have been promoting hydro-treated vegetable oil as the most suitable transitional fuel for yachting for a number of years now, but with relatively little uptake, says Chris Ward, yacht team manager, Peninsula Yacht Services. While Ward is bought into the product, he's finding that yachts aren't stepping up in quite the same way. One of the problems is that yachts are looking for data to back up the claims about HVO. The company has an interesting explainer covering the state of the fuel industry. Ward explains, "We were constantly asked whether we had any examples of yachts already using renewable diesel that could share their findings." He's hoping that this summer he'll have enough yachts taking part in a trial to provide data which will in turn enable the bigger switch to HVO. Peninsula, which provides marine fuel and lubricant services globally, has physical supply capabilities in 12 locations around the world and an extensive network of supply partners. In 2024, it launched the brand B-Future. That was in response to varying specs for HVO and the push for a high-quality, consistent fuel. Peninsula says the product is the very best and most sustainable HVO on the market today. "We only use second-generation HVO to maximize the reduction in harmful emissions." Ward says, "Although B-Future was only a marketing vehicle, i.e., we weren't producing renewable diesel, but with B-Future we were promising only to provide HVO or synthetic diesel that had the maximum reduction in carbon emissions, we were educating the market that not only was renewable diesel the sustainable alternative to conventional diesel, but it was also a better performing fuel. Renewable diesel has a higher energy content by mass, a higher cetane index, which can lead to less stress on the engine, a reduction in operating temperature and importantly a complete burn in the combustion chamber. This, along with the reduction in carbon deposits, results in a significant reduction in visible black smoke from the exhaust and practically eradicates the oily slick around the waterline/below water exhaust outlets. Our 2024 campaign successfully created more interest. This led naturally to the next phase of the campaign, conducting independent tests, both in the lab and operationally, to compare the theoretical benefits of renewable diesel with real-world performance. But despite initial interest, Peninsula is still facing challenges securing yacht commitment. Yachts often operate independently, and no one wants to be the guinea pig to trial a new fuel and risk any issues. It's a classic chicken and egg problem. And for our final story, the UK government received a wake-up call recently from Waterways campaigning group, Fund Britain's Waterways, as it took its message to the heart of Westminster. A flotilla of boats stopped by the Palace of Westminster. A colourful 26-strong flotilla delivered a clear message to the nation's policymakers from the Thames to protect the future of our waterways. The journey began with the initial group of boats setting off from Strawberry Island Boat Club in Doncaster on the 29th of March as the start of the major campaign cruise to and beyond the heart of government, raising awareness and being joined by other boats along the way. By the time they stopped outside Parliament, the group had operated 172 locks to London. The flotilla included a pair of working fuel boats, a historic narrowboat, a Dutch barge and privately owned narrowboats from across the country, some of which had to battle failing canal infrastructure and a pollution incident in their determination to reach Westminster. United, they sounded their horns to cheers from supporters on Westminster Bridge, drawing the attention of MPs gathered on the palace's terrace ahead of Prime Minister's questions today. Welcoming the flotilla were crowds of inland waterway supporters on the bridge and representatives from the campaign's alliance of 160 organisations joining parliamentarians on the terrace. Fund Britain's Waterways is a coalition of organisations representing hundreds of thousands of users and supporters of inland waterways campaigning to safeguard the future of Britain's 5,000-mile network of cherished canals and rivers. The campaign urges recognition of the importance of Britain's inland waterways as part of the national infrastructure with environmental, leisure, heritage, and commercial freight value, and calls for an urgent review of their funding in view of their already deteriorating condition. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.